If anyone were to ask you a question, the question, why do you practice the Dharma? How would you answer? There might be many different answers to this question. But one of the ways to answer this question is, we practice the Dharma, the teachings of the Buddha, to cultivate dispassion, compassion and wisdom. This is one way that you can answer this question. A person who accomplishes dispassion, compassion and wisdom in highest sense, in ultimate sense, that person is known as an enlightened one. Because his mind is full of dispassion, compassion and wisdom. These are the three remarkable qualities that an enlightened one has. Now, ordinary human mind is not free from greed, hatred, and delusion. These three poisons are rooted in human mind. Buddhism is a path that leads from ordinary human level to enlightened human. So if we want to be enlightened, then what we must do? We must destroy greed, hatred and delusion perfectly and permanently. Noble Eightfold Path is specifically designed for this purpose. When we practice Noble Eightfold Path, we are practicing the path, a way to uproot greed, hatred, and delusion. Now, in the Noble Eightfold Path, first two factors, they are known as right understanding and right thoughts. If you analyze right understanding and right thoughts, you might see very carefully at very beginning itself dispassion, compassion and wisdom is set up to uproot greed, hatred and delusion. Opposite quality to greed is dispassion. Opposite quality to hatred is compassion. Opposite quality to ignorance is wisdom. So now these three factors are set up in right understanding and right thoughts. Right understanding, when Buddha explained what is right understanding, he says understanding the dukkha, its cause, its end and path leading to its end. Simply, four noble truths. So understanding of Four Noble Truths here is wisdom, which is against delusion. So suffering is rooted in delusion. So wisdom that goes against delusion is Four Noble Truths. This is the wisdom. Now in right thoughts,
And those of you who come to Wednesday class, here is very often how Venerable Sai would explain. So now friends, what is right thoughts? Then he explained, thoughts of renunciation, thoughts of goodwill, and thoughts of non-cruelty. Now when we come to these three types of thought, thoughts of renunciation means detachment, dispassion, non-attachment. So this is the word dispassion. Then the other two thoughts, which is thoughts of goodwill and thoughts of non-cruelty, together we call compassion. So at very beginning itself, in the normal eightfold path, wisdom, compassion, and dispassion are set up against greed, hatred, and delusion. So now let us look at how these three things work together. In isolation, it may seem that dispassion and compassion, they are not connected. They are leading two different directions. That is how you might see it. Compassion is one aspect. Dispassion is another aspect. Seems like they are going to two different directions. But if you were to look at it very deeply, you might find both compassion and dispassion has got a common root. What is the common root here? It's the wisdom. It means genuine compassion and genuine dispassion arise out of wisdom. So now here onward, I'm going to make this point clear, only this much. So that is the purpose of our talk here today. Now, let us understand wisdom. Or what we use the word right understanding. Wisdom here is seeing the four noble truths. Dukkha or suffering arises in the mind. Its cause is also in the mind. Now, dukkha can be ended within the mind itself. The path that leads to its end is also within the human mind. So four noble truths themselves are within the human mind. So how do we realize it? In order to realize four noble truths in our mind itself and produce this wisdom, we start with something simple yet very profound. This process is known as Yoniso Manasikara, seeing things as they really are with simple observation. But this is not simply mindless observation, but mindful observation, what we label as vipassana. The word vipassana comes, vi here means in a special way, passana means observing, observing in a special way. It means in ordinary human mind, in ordinary level, we do not observe in that way. So what is this special way of observing? It's a scientific way of observing. With mindfulness, you are going to observe your own mind. The mind has got a generic structure. And when we observe our own mind with mindfulness,
we can understand how suffering arises, its cause, how we can end this suffering. This process of observing is taught in the under the label Vipassana Bhavana,
developing the mind through insight meditation. When we observe the mind carefully, then you are going to observe Four Noble Truths within the higher aggregates of clinging. And this discovery of yours eventually lead to dispassion and compassion. So let's see how it happens in our mind if we were to practice this path. Suppose now you develop mindfulness and observe your own mind to understand how suffering arises. You might observe very carefully and come to know suffering arises because of craving. Buddha, in the Four Noble Truths, when he explained, and he pointed out that the cause of suffering is tanha. And he says, yāyam tanha puno bhavika nandirāga sahagata tatra tatra vinandani seyatrida kāva tanha bhava tanha vibhava tanha. It is this craving that looks for fresh delight here, fresh delight there, namely kāma tanha, craving for sensual pleasure, bhava tanha, craving for becoming, want to be born again and again and again, then craving for non-becoming. It means kind of hatred, kind of thought to destroy. I do not want to exist. So this is hatred. This is self-destructive force. This is self-annihilation. So craving here is the cause of suffering. Craving itself has got the two aspects. If you look at it, it is greed and hatred. Craving itself is greed and hatred both together. When it is said, craving for pleasure and craving for existence, this is one aspect. And craving for non-existence, and this is self-hatred. This is the root cause of hatred. Now, if we carefully observe the mind, craving leads to suffering. And this you can observe in your mind itself and see whether it is true. When you observe very carefully, mindfully, you might understand. When I satisfy my craving, I become happy. Is it true or not? When you satisfy your craving, when you satisfy your desire, do you feel happy? Yes, it is a fact. When we satisfy our desire, we feel happy. Well, this is called sense pleasure. Now, when you look at furthermore and you will understand, yes, when I satisfy this desire, I feel happy. But after some time, another desire arises. So to become happy, I have to satisfy that desire also. So I satisfy that desire, then I become happy. Then after some time, another desire arises. Then I satisfy that desire also. So in this way, when we see, you might see, yes, satisfying the craving brings some degree of happiness and joy, but it seems like never ending. This you will understand. You will understand it when you observe your own mind with mindfulness. You will understand, yes, when I satisfy desire, I feel happy. But then this desire doesn't have an ending point. There's no end of this desire. So when you recognize it, you will see the desire or craving as a disease. Now when we satisfy our desire, we become so happy and joyful, we grab it, we want it more and more and more. You will observe it very carefully, actually you will see that I am caught up in a very problematic situation, because it's kind of addiction. I satisfy it, again it is not satisfied. I still give pleasure again and again and again, but there is no end. So it is like a disease. You will understand. When you understand that craving is a disease, then your mind has got inclination to opposite to craving. What is that called? Dispassion, non-clinging, detachment. Further, when you observe a little bit more further, you will understand this pleasure itself is not permanent. Whatever the pressure that you derive, that is not permanent. Now look at yourself. Now you are 50 years old or 60 years old. Throughout your life, you have enjoyed a lot. You have gone for enjoyment, entertainment. You have gratified all the sense faculties. You have eaten so nice foods and you have spent a lot of money to pleasure. But today, what is this pleasure? Isn't it a dream? Can you take the pleasure that you enjoyed 10 years back and enjoy now? It's gone already. Can you take the pleasure that this morning, 8 o'clock, that you enjoyed now? It's only a memory. It's a dream. So you will understand carefully in your mind, pleasure is fleeting, not permanent. What about the objects that bring the pleasure? Whatever the objects that you grab thinking, this is nice, this is beautiful, this is mine, this one I think bring me happiness. Yes, it brings happiness, only temporary. But these items, whatever you grab, they are also not permanent. So when you observe this, and you will see that this pleasure and pleasurable objects that we grab through five sense faculties, they are not permanent, not worth to cling to them, because they create suffering. When you understand this, your mind will cling to this passion. Why do I have to crave? Let go craving this passion. When you observe carefully more and more in your mind, you will come to understand deeper and deeper and deeper. You might come to know that to enjoy the pleasure, and I have to obtain these pleasurable objects. Pleasure doesn't come out of nothing. To enjoy the pleasure, you need to sacrifice something. It may be your time, it may be your money, it may be your emotions, it may be whatever it is. There's nothing free in this world. To enjoy this pleasure and pleasurable objects, you need to sacrifice something. And when you count, calculate very carefully, this pleasure and this much I need to enjoy this pleasure, when I calculate in this way, you might see this way of trying to be happy is not economical. Because in the process, we pay a lot. Pay here means does not mean money alone. Pay doesn't, your stress, tension, agony, all these are pay. When you go to your work and work hard to earn this money, to buy this pleasure, and all these are counted. So when you calculate in this way, you might see this way of enjoying is not economical. So you might come to terms this craving is a disease, it is an addiction, it doesn't give me the perfect satisfaction. When the mind comes to this understanding, mind inclined towards dispassion. Understand? But it doesn't happen just because you listen to this talk. It doesn't happen just because you read a book. It happens with practice. Practice with careful observation. Great scientific discoveries have been done by human beings through simple observation, with carefully observing how things work. Exactly so, we need to observe our mind with mindfulness. This is the Buddhist practice. Now this is how, through wisdom, how we develop dispassion. Then how do we develop compassion through wisdom? This is again through wisdom. Now you see the other human beings. They are also caught up in the same cycle like myself. So and so, also same. We are all are in the same boat. You come to terms with it. You understand so and so also undergoing the same problem, also having same issue like myself. And you compare yourself with other human beings, then when you compare with other human beings, two type of thoughts arise in your mind. What is the first thought? May this human being who is suffering from this defilement of desire and craving, he is or she is trying to satisfy her desire or his desire, but again and again that person is dissatisfied. Again and again that person has to undergo. This person is suffering from the disease of craving. And when you understand it, you feel like, are you a poor thing? And then arise your thoughts. May she or may he be free from this suffering. And this is called compassion. This is called compassion. At the moment when you see other human beings who are suffering from the same disease and arise in your mind the thought, may these human beings be free from this disease, this is compassion. Again, further, you do not want to increase any kind of suffering for these human beings anymore. So you behave in such a way not to hurt anyone, not to damage anyone, not to create any violence, bloodshed. You refrain from killing, stealing, injuring, harming, and you live very harmless life, very noble life. This is again out of compassion. So in the Noble Eightfold Path, when it comes to Samma Ditti, what it means? Wisdom, right understanding. Understanding of four noble truths. How suffering arises within our mind. Understanding. When it comes to Samma Sankappa, right thoughts, then there are three types of right thoughts, which is Nikkama Sankappa, means dispassion, Avyapada Sankappa, goodwill, then Avihinsa Sankappa, non cruelty. So here, under this category, we can divide them into dispassion and compassion. Both arise out of wisdom, as I explained. So it is from the right beginning of the Noble Eightfold Path. Our direction is towards dispassion, compassion, and wisdom. Once we culminate it and achieve it, that is the